Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and they go in depth and in detail of that issue. I am Steven Schleicher. You can follow me on Twitter at Major Spoilers. Over there is Matthew Peterson. You can follow him at Mighty King Cobra. And of course, you can check out everything we do at MajorSpoilers.com. This week, as we mentioned last week, because that's the whole point of the running down the issues for the next week, is picking what we're going to read the following week.
Right.
So if you paid attention to last week, then you know that this week we're taking a look at Vampirilla number 100 from Dynamite Entertainment.
And if you paid attention the week before that, you knew what we listened to last week was what we decided we were going to listen to this week. But then
I think, although 2 weeks ago we didn't, because somebody was busy or something.
We sat there on the group.
But here's the weird thing. Here's the weird thing. If you look at the comic from Dynamite, they have it couched as the 21st coming out, although it did come out today. So it took me a moment to figure out if we were too far ahead on this one or not. But we are not. It did come out. It is a 48-page special from Dynamite Entertainment. Number 100, we were trying to figure out earlier how this equals 100, because Dynamite only acquired the series in 2010, which has been 5 years. If they picked it up from the numbering that Harris had, it could still be at 100, although I know that they've had multiple Vampirilla series running at the same time. So if they're talking about all the Vampirilla issues that they've run, then they probably are very close or right at 100.
Well, at Dynamite.
Yes, at Dynamite.
Last year was Vampirella's 45-year anniversary.
Yeah, so
Vampirella did 120 issues from Warren Publishing from 69 to about 85, I think. Because Vampirella was being published when I just started getting into comics.
So in 2010, Dynamite started a new ongoing series with Vampirella number 1.
Right.
So I'm betting when you throw in Fury Tales and you throw in a couple of the miniseries that are concurrent.
Vampirella Dance of the Dead.
Yeah, you throw those in and I think you end up with probably this would be the 100th issue of Vampirella that Dynamite Entertainment has published.
From Vampirella. I would agree with you there, yeah.
This book is also an anthology book. This is not a one story that runs for 48 pages, although I like those. And I've been a big proponent of anthologies for a long time. I know some people are like, well, anthologies don't work because you end up paying $5 and only two or only one of the stories is one that you're really interested in, maybe not the others. But I still think it's that variety for the price. It's kind of like when you go to, I don't know, you get kind of some kind of special at your favorite restaurant and you get a little bit of beans and some rice and a enchilada and a taco and a burrito all on one plate, right?
Some garlic bread and some, you know, barbecued chicken.
But I mean, you get that all on one plate and it's like, well, it's a combo plate. And that's kind of what I look at an anthology series as, a combo plate. Maybe you're not going to eat the enchilada, but you're certainly going to enjoy the other two items on your plate.
Anthologies are like literary gambling. You are putting down your $4.99 or whatever it is for this. Was this $4.99?
No, this is actually a $7.99 book.
Okay, you put down your $7.99 for this book, and you have, you know, basically a 1 in 5 shot of something being awesome. And then, of course, the first page of story takes place on the planet Draculon.
Vampirilla of Draculon. Now, she has been, and from what I remember when they rebooted the series at Dynamite, they did put her as girl from outer space, vampire from outer space. And this first story by Tim Seeley is, and I don't, you know, I never read any of the old Vampirilla stuff from back in the 70s and 80s.
Warren, yeah,
the Warren stuff. That's, but it was all in black and white. And this kind of felt like Tim Seeley's homage to those issues. Am I right? Am I close?
Specifically, I want to say this first story is an homage to the first Vampirella from 1969.
Okay.
It's been a while since I've read it because I don't actually own it anymore. I actually sold it for money. But yeah, Vampirella number 1, when it came out, did the whole thing where it was a black and white book and it looked like this. The art, I believe, in that first issue was like, I want to say Rudy Nebrez, but I may be full of crap. But it was one of, you know, one of the artists who worked for Warren, and I believe it was one of the artists from the Philippine studios, Nestor Redondo Studios. But yeah, this is definitely kind of a loving tribute to that, including an old school look at her suit and the tiny wings on her shoulders.
Yeah, they get bigger.
We don't do those anymore. And of course, well, firing coffin pods.
That cracked me up, man. I was just like, wow, that's, maybe I'm glad I missed the years.
You're not. You need to check them out because they are fascinating. And they have work in them by Archie Goodwin. And I'll tell you one thing about Archie. The worst Archie Goodwin is still some of the better comics you're going to be able to get hold of.
Then there is this great story of this troll under the bridge who's been collecting souls, and Vampirella going in and basically killing him and releasing the souls. It's a nice little clever story. But the one thing that's very different between the first story and the second story is, of course, the costume change. And we've talked about the costume change before. I want to say a couple of years ago when we talked about this either on the Major Spoilers podcast or here on Dueling Reviews, in that they removed the bikini and had her wearing basically leather pants and a shirt. And that's kind of what she's wearing in this book, is the trench coat and the and the other stuff.
Leather coat and pants over like a blood red blouse, which is really a striking look, too. I like that look.
Yeah. And, you know, that kind of goes along with the costume change for Wonder Woman, especially in the new. And I'm pretty sure it's throughout the new 52 where she's wearing more pants kind of stuff. And certainly in the new animated movie Throne of Atlantis, she's wearing the dark blue pants with the top that, you know, is still kind of a swimsuit top, but I mean, it is a very nice costume, and I like it.
Less swimsuit and more battle corpse-y.
And I like that. And I like when they changed Vampirella's costume. It was not a huge deal to me, although I know a lot of people really do hold on to this notion that Vampirella has to be wearing a bikini from 1971.
She has to be wearing that slingshot bikini. Well, and part of it is, she was created specifically to, you know, have that look. But more importantly, for a while in the 70s, Vampirella covers were live action models.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Vampirella was one of the first, you know, things that you'd see cosplay.
Right.
And actually probably half cosplay and half booth babe. You'd see someone in that Vampirella costume, and they had an official Vampirella for Warren Publishing for several years.
Right.
And of course, then they, you know, if one actress would leave, then they'd have to get a new Vampirella. If you go back and look at how many of them are actual photo covers, there's more to that traditional costume than just the peekaboo, you know, cheesecake aspects. It's to me, it's kind of like Spider-Man with web pits. If Spider-Man
So it's like Spider-Man with web pits and a banana hammock for his costume, right?
Oh, and I don't argue that it's a problematic costume, and it's a sexist costume in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I mean, as that being said, certainly as a much younger person, I would have been looking at those Warren covers going, man, I got to get this comic. I'm never going to read the inside, but man, there's going to be a stack of these under the bed. But, you know, today you look back and you're like, well, this isn't practical. You know, we have to be more aware of portrayals of women and really anybody, minorities. I mean, just anybody. We have to be very aware of how people are portrayed, different ethnicities in media. And I think that when you realize that something like the Vampirella costume, though it may be a traditional battle garb on Draculon, is probably not the best way to portray the title character in her comic. I know there's probably a lot of people that don't agree with me on that, and that's fine. But, you know, the new costume, I know a lot of people were upset about it, but I don't mind it. And, you know, I don't mind the old costume either. I just wish that – I don't know what I wish.
I think what it comes down to for me is it's kind of like the Power Girl argument when people say, why does Power Girl have to have massive breasts and a window in the front of her suit? Right. And the question then becomes, well, why shouldn't she? The obvious answer is it's not that she should or shouldn't. It's that she's indicative of a lot of similar costumes and a lot of booberific and a lot of very, very revealing costumes. When that is the norm, when the Vampirella costume, you know, in 1995, when Vampirella was coming out from Harris Publications, most of the high profile heroine characters were likewise barely.
Oh yeah. Dressed. Go look at, I mean, I something you and I are going to be working on throughout the year is looking at what caused a lot of this controversy, especially back in the Golden Age. And just go look at Phantom. What's her name? Phantom Lady from the cowboy days.
Oh, the Matt Baker Phantom. Yeah, ladies are beautiful art. But again, it's something
basically this.
Yeah. And to some degree, I would say Vampirella is more covered than the Phantom Lady, depending on the costume.
Well, but then the other thing, too, is that you know, when we talk about trademark and we talk about copyright and we talk about easily identifiable.
Right.
You know, look at the people that tripped out when Superman started wearing his underwear on the inside.
I'm one of
them. We have to be one of those. You know, we have come to we can trademark something. We can copyright something. But also this notion of here is this guy dressed in blue with red underwear on the outside and this big S shield. That is Superman. And so right. From the Warren Harris Dynamite viewpoint, this Vampirilla costume and the fact that she has the bat down on her crotch is very much a trademark of Vampirilla. And when you go messing with that, you do run into this weird area of do they lose control of another hero wearing that costume with, you know, with a Power Girl? Do they run the risk of losing? And I don't mean Power Girl's identity, but do you risk losing the identity of Power Girl by changing the costume? I mean, I'm one of those people that hate it when you read a comic strip for, you know, 75 years and Charlie Brown's still wearing the same dopey outfit every single day. I like to see my characters change things up. Look at Fred and Daphne, for God's sake.
Yeah, but they changed clothes twice in 50 years.
But you go and you start changing those clothes and suddenly you do run the risk, or potentially running the risk, of if there is something trademarkable or copyrightable in a costume, you run the risk of losing some of those things. So I can, you know, from that standpoint, I can understand if we have to, you know, every 2 months show Vampirilla in her old costume or else we run the risk of losing a trademark or a copyright or something like that. Right. That's fine. I'm sure that's not the case. I can talk to a lawyer and find out more about that. But
I think, though, iconography is important.
Yeah,
too.
It is. And that's what I guess the point that I was getting at is iconography.
When you look at that Vampirilla costume, yes, it is not necessarily practical, but there's that level, that question of, do we really worry about suspension of disbelief practicality with a character who is an alien vampire from space? And I think the question has to be answered on an individual basis. As a reader, as me, I definitely see why people could be offended by the amount of flesh that Vampirilla shows. I'm not. And I think that that red costume, that original costume, is unique and
it is very
iconic.
Yes, it is iconic.
Way.
Yes, it is iconic. So there's our discussion on the costume.
Right.
Third story is feels very much an homage to creepy comics, eerie comics that had their start, or at least
the Warren books.
Yeah. Because you've got a guy who is literally a crypt keeper opening up the gates and allowing Vampirilla to come in and hear these stories of these people who have died until you reveal that this guy that's, I guess, been behind her the entire time
is the killer.
And then he gets his comeuppance. And so, you know, knowing that, you know, and the guy, the crypt keeper guy with the big mutton chops and other thing, which one had that kind of looking guy over it? Was it Eerie or Creepy that had that kind of guy?
Creepy and Eerie. They had Uncle Creepy, I think was the guy you're talking about.
Okay.
And then there was Cousin Eerie.
Yeah.
Who was basically Uncle Creepy in a different head. So I want to say that somebody is printing Creepy again.
Yeah.
Maybe Dark Horse?
IDW is collecting it, I think. I forget. Maybe it's IDW. Maybe it's Dark Horse. One of those two.
Printing new issues of Creepy.
Oh, okay.
Featuring Uncle Creepy, or at least new assembly.
So, you know, it seems like we're getting, from the very first story, this look back at Vampirilla's origin. Then we get a story that jumps ahead to the modern take on her. And then we get to the third story, and it is very much, seems to be, now to me, an homage to, oh, here's what, you know, here's a Crypt Keeper type tales from Warren days. And then we get into this very 90s tale, which I simply love. They don't call it Kolchak the Night Stalker, but it's Kovac the Night Walker, and it is definitely him. And if you are familiar with Kolchak, you know many of the werewolf episode, I think, was they made that the standalone movie, Night of the Werewolf, I think is the name of that one. And then, you know, all of these monsters that we see in these flashbacks of him recounting this tale of Vampirilla is the one behind all this. It's very interesting homage, and then suddenly these two FBI agents who you don't really see in full reveal, you know, it's an homage to the X-Files. And then it's, you know, also becomes very meta because they had the whole who was the guy that played Kolchak?
Yeah, I think Darren McGavin.
Darren McGavin. being on that one episode of The X-Files where he was one of the original agents. So it's just like, it was so trippy and cool. I enjoyed that story the most of all of them, just because of what it was.
I like that one. I think that for me, I would have liked a little bit more of the tease, and I know you can't do it because, you know, X-Files is back in comics right now.
Yeah,
a little bit more of the tease of who they are. But even
you know, if you look in that one, if you look at the one panel of Agent Scully, if you, I would imagine if you were to zoom in really close onto her badge, because there's even one that
I think it says
that. Well, it doesn't say that, but the picture on the badge, you can tell that it looks very much like Gillian Anderson. It's got the red hair and everything that's in there.
Hey, that's a picture of Gillian Anderson.
Yeah. And there's another one earlier on in the issue. I don't know if it's it's the one under the bridge. If you where they have the newspaper and talking about all these drownings. If you look at that crumpled newspaper, it looks like Bruce Willis from Die Hard in there, or maybe not Die Hard, but it definitely looks like Bruce Willis is in the cover of that Tribune magazine, Chicago, Illinois. Yeah. Chicago, Illinois. That'd be, wasn't he in that terrible movie where he was the police guy on the riverboat? What the hell movie was that? Bruce Willis.
Color of Night or Falling Down, one of the two.
Let me look and see here.
And his lady friend was Sarah Jessica Parker.
I believe so.
Yes.
Yeah, so I would imagine that it just looks it to me, it just looks like Bruce Willis on that.
It could be. I can definitely see that call. Huh. That's weird. What's the one where he's in the phone booth? Is that Phone Booth or is that Colin?
No, that's yes, that's the other guy.
Colin McCreevy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's Color of Night.
Color of Night sounds right.
A colorblind psychiatrist. No, that's not it.
No.
Look
at Sarah Jessica Parker's movie list. She can't have that many movies. She's Sarah Jessica Parker.
Man, I want to. Oh, man. This is going to kill me now trying to find out which one it is.
The name of the movie?
Yeah, the name of the movie. No, the name of the movie that he's in, that is where he was the riverboat guy. It's not Color of Night. It can't be.
Riverboat Gambler. Striking Distance.
Striking Distance.
That sounds right.
Is that it? Yes. Tom Hardy. Yes. I would imagine if we went and looked.
He played Bane?
No. Yes.
Wow.
He played Tom Hardy, who would later become.
Wheels within wheels.
Yes, and that's kind of what this series is. And then we get to the very last story, which is the creepiest of them all. Baby vampires. How do we get baby vampires? Oh, wait until the last page, ladies and gentlemen. Wait until the last page. It's pretty creepy.
It is. It's horrifying.
It is very horrifying. What'd you think of the art overall in this? First of all, what'd you think of the writing through this anthology? I know it's hard to break it down per issue or per story.
I feel like there was a consistency in the character throughout each story, and you didn't ever have too much of a problem saying, okay, this is what Vampirella is. This is what Vampirella does. She's an alien vampire from space, and she fights evil things.
Yeah.
Whatever the evil things are, you know, it's kind of like the Twilight Zone. You don't know what you're going to get, but you can always know that it's going to open with, you know, Rod looking at you and talking through his teeth while smoking a cigarette.
Right.
That really worked for me.
Yeah, I like that, too.
The art on the first tale and the art on the last one, I think, were my favorite.
Because I would have said the art in the last one was my least favorite. It kind of went from in story order. The art in the first one was my favorite. The art in the last one was my least favorite. And even the X-Files one was very problematic in a lot of places for me. So I guess overall there was a very good average quality. It all averaged out for the quality of their art in this issue. I don't feel like I was cheated in the art. I don't feel like I was given anything less than what the comic was worth. And there was some very good stuff in there, but I just didn't care for the whole final issue story.
The final story was extremely disturbing, and that kind of works for me because I like my Vampirella creepy.
I just loved the crypt story, the cemetery story. Yeah, I just that one was really fun because you're like, okay, why does she keep talking to these spirits with her ghost machine? And then you come to the last page and you're like, ah, you've been doing it all along.
The doctor is the one who killed them all along.
Yeah. And so I just, I really like that. So I don't know. That was my favorite story, both in art and, no, not on art. The first one really had the best art, I think.
Yeah. And the first one intentionally had that art that was, you know, indicative of the wonderful art that you get in a black and white Warren magazine.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't disagree with you. I don't feel like we got hosed in any way. I feel like this is definitely worthy of being a 100th issue. And
So would you go out and pay $8 for this?
For purposes of saying, would I normally pay $3.99 for a comic? Is this worth $8? Yes. Now I chafe at the fact that a normal comic is $3.99 right now, possibly on its way to being $4.99, as we've said before.
Yep.
Comparative to the amount of story and the amount of information that you get in your average 24-page $3.99 comic, yes, I feel like this is definitely worth the price of admission.
Okay, I agree too. I am not a super knowledgeable person of all things Vampirilla. You know, the more we read about her and the more you and I talk, the more I know about the history of the character. I don't know all of her weaknesses and her superpowers and all of that stuff, but you can get that feeling from picking up this issue.
She's a flyer from space.
Yes, that's what I read in the very first story, which is why, if you're not familiar with Vampirilla, why you may want to pick up this issue, because you do get a very wide taste of what she's capable of and what writers generally write to when they're writing a Vampirilla story. So I think that for that reason, even if you're new, this is worth picking up.
I would agree. And I think that if you're looking for a place to approach Vampirilla for the first time, you could do worse than this. There are a lot of Vampirilla issues that I've picked up and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. This one starts you off with the inexplicable parts,
yeah,
gets them out of the way, and then runs you through an issue that tells you a little bit of what you need to know in each time.
Yes.
To where at the end of the book, you know what Vampirilla is basically about.
Right. Exactly. And that's why I think that people should check this out. Give it a chance at least and see what happens. So there you go. All right. So coming out next week, I'm looking at Marvel. We were talking about prices.
Right.
Next week, Marvel has 20 of their books are $3.99. In fact, all of their regular issue books are $3.99. Everything else is trade paperbacks and collections. So they are definitely $3.99 is where they're holding the line. DC Comics. No.
They'll push the line over there.
Oh no, I will bet by San Diego we will hear about regular $4.99 books. Now DC has been doing some $3.99 books and some $4.99 books. Their $4.99 books are their combo packs that include the code to get the electronic version of the story.
Right.
But there are still a great deal of comics that are still $2.99 at DC Comics. At Dark Horse Comics next week, you can get a comic for $1. It's the one-for-one ElfQuest book. BPRD Hell on Earth 127 comes out next week. Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 10, number 11, comes out next week. Gru Friends and Foes is a brand new series. That's a number one issue. And then they have Strain Night Eternal. Oh, Strain. That series from Guillermo del Toro. That's Night Eternal number 5 comes out. And I know it's not Guillermo, but he's the one that was doing the television adaptation, or at least working on it. DC Comics has Batman and Robin number 38, Batman Eternal 42, Batman Superman number 18, Batwoman number 38. Beware the Batman trade paperback, Birds of Prey, all those in the Bat family. There's also Earth 2 Worlds End number 16, Fables 148, Green Lantern New Guardians number 38, Justice League number 38, Kitchen number 3, New 52 Futures End number 38, Red Hood and the Outlaws number 38, Supergirl number 38, Teen Titans number 6, and Trinity of Sin number 4, and Wonder Woman number 38. Most of those are $2.99 books. In fact, the only book, like I said, the $4.99s are the combo pack books. Justice League 38 is a $3.99 book. Generally, with those $3.99 books, Batman Superman number 18 is a $3.99 book. Those usually go what? They've got eight extra pages of content in them for that price.
There you go.
Yeah. IDW Publishing has Batman Silver Age Newspaper Comics hardcover. That's $50 right there. That's from 1968 to 69.
That's the good stuff.
Yeah. Black Dynamite trade paperback. They also have Creeple.
Also a good book.
Creeple People number one. I don't know what that's about.
Oh, do we want to?
I don't know. We might as well. It could be a little kid's book.
Creeple People.
Yeah. C-R-E-E-P-L-E. P-E-E-P-L-E.
Oh, Creeple People.
Galaxy Quest Journey Continues number one.
No, we're doing that.
All right, you better grab it now.
Galaxy Quest: The Journey Continues.
Number one.
If anybody has tried to take it, we're gonna pull rank.
Let's see. Indestructible number 10. Millennium number one. Oh, Millennium number one. We were just talking about X-Files, and we were just talking about conspiracy theories.
Millennium, like Frank Black Millennium?
Yeah. It's the continuation of that series. They've got the X-Files. Well, it was basically over in 2000 because they already hit the millennium. So it's been 15 years since we've seen any Frank Black. I always loved that show up until about the last, I don't know, maybe half season to season. It got really weird and disturbing, even more so than what it was. But it was like, this week I really shouldn't ruin some top five stuff. But if you remember one of those books that I was reading, Millennium was coming out at that same time that I was reading that book. It just tripped my mind beyond belief.
He read two fictional things with similar premises and decided that it must be real.
It was. And it was this conspiracy theory, and they were secretly telling me, we're
this
watching
fictional
you.
Story here and this fictional story match. The reality is here.
Samurai
Dogs
Jack.
And cats living together.
Samurai Jack number 16. Star Trek Planet of the Apes number 2. A lot of good books coming out next week from IDW.
Planet.
They also have Dungeons & Dragons Legend of Drizzt trade paperback. And Baldur's Gate number 4 coming out.
And also
some other comics.
Many good things and also Drizzt.
Why do you hate the Dungeons & Dragons comic books?
I don't. I hate Drizzt.
Why?
It's complicated. But when it comes to role-playing game characters, I worked for a long time behind the counter of a comic book shop. So I heard a lot of my character did stories.
Yeah.
And a lot of those stories were outlandish, and some of them were terrible. And a lot of them I just kind of wanted to go, do you understand what you're telling me about you when you tell me what you did when you were allowed to be someone without consequences? Drizzt is like the worst character stories ever, combined with unfortunate implications and a big case of the Mary Sues. Mm. I cannot stand how centralized Drizzt
He's the Wolverine of Dungeons and Dragons, though.
He is, and I don't necessarily care for Wolverine when he does it.
Mm.
I liked him better when he was called Timberwolf.
Image Comics has Autumn Lands Tooth and Claw number 3 out next week. Drifter number 3. Goners number 4. Hack Slash Son of Sam Hain. That's a trade paperback.
Sam Hain.
Invincible 116.
Salmon.
Penny Dora and the Wishing Box number 3. Rise of the Magi number 5. Rumble number 2. Wicked and the Vine number 7 comes out next week. Marvel Comics has All New X-Factor number 20, All New X-Men number 15, Amazing Spider-Man number 13, Black Widow number 14, Bucky Barnes Winter Soldier number 4. Oh man, I think I made a lot of people mad on Twitter tonight.
Did you?
Yes. Spoiler alert. I was watching Agent Carter the other night, and it's just like this one person who's her quote-unquote friend, Angie, the girl that works at the restaurant.
I haven't seen Agent Carter.
She's a Hydra agent. It's pretty clear that she's trying to be chummy with her to get her close so that she can be revealed as a Hydra agent. And I went on Twitter and I said, everyone knows Angie's a Hydra agent, right?
You said she was a hydrangea? Why?
Yes, I said she was a hydrangea. You got to water her frequently.
Exactly. Or else she dries out and her roots get all squishy.
Yeah. And then the great Nato responded back. He goes, well, don't you think that the whole hotel that they're staying in or the apartment complex she's staying in is a Hydra cell? And I was like, well, I thought that, too. So
and then everybody is like, no.
If Angie turns out to be a Hydra agent, I mean, what I didn't say the other night when we were talking about Agent Carter is it's very straightforward storytelling. Everything is on a closed set. It's not like they're shooting on location a lot. Everything is on a studio lot. It feels very much, I mean, production value wise, it's a little bit better, but it feels like first season of MacGyver from the production value, the way that they have everything lit and some of the action stuff and the MacGuffins that they're going after. And so because of the way that they're telling the story, it makes perfect sense for Angie to be a Hydra agent. And it makes perfect sense then for the SSR to turn into SHIELD, or maybe she's a SHIELD agent. Who knows? Agent Carter is being recruited into SHIELD. But I think Angie's a Hydra agent. The Hydra roots go deep.
Stop telling.
Hydrangea roots go deep.
A hydrangea.
Magneto number 14 comes out next week. Moon Knight number 11. If everybody's mad at me now who is listening to this, because I may have potentially spoiled something based on just a offhanded comment, I'm sorry.
Stop thinking critically and jumping ahead of the story. You are so genre savvy that you can spoil things without even realizing you're doing
it. Oh, I know. That's part of the fun, right? I mean, that's what tropes are, right? I mean, you notice a trope and you can say, well, if they're using this trope, then that means logically, because people don't put a whole lot of thought into stuff, that this is the way it's going to play out. And then people are mad at you when you're proven right.
Well, it's all in how you do it. I mean,
this whole Reverse Flash thing, you know, the thing, I don't know if you saw the story that we had up on Major Spoilers, but the CW did its television.
I didn't see that.
Television Press Association upfronts or whatever that they were doing. And so the press are there and they're talking to everybody who's on Flash and they're like, OK, Dr. Wells, you're really the Reverse Flash, right? And he goes, well, yes, I am the Reverse Flash. I'm that's who I am on the show. And then, of course, everyone's like, oh, well, we kind of figured it, but what's really going on? And of course, the head of the show is like, yes, what he said is true, but what we're going to pull out of our hat next is going to flip your lid. And people are upset that they revealed that it was a Reverse Flash. I mean, yeah, I'm upset because when they showed him in the show, it upset me because it's like, well, there goes my theory, but at least I was having fun during the entire time. But now what they have to do, if they're confirming everything, is now they have to, they really have to pull the rabbit out of their hat to take it up to the next level.
Deconfirm?
No, I don't think they deconfirm. I think they made some hints about Eddie and, we'll see. There's still a conspiracy theory. I get about three emails a week from people saying, Stephen, I've come up with this theory that Dr. Wells and Barry Allen are the same person. And apparently it's a very popular theory because, like I said, I get three emails a week from people saying, hey, this is my original theory. And it's like, well, I've heard it from 20 different people. And I know it's also a very popular one online.
Right.
So maybe that's true. I don't know. But they're going to have to do something to really surprise us going forward. Speaking of going forward, Powers number 1 comes out next week. I was pretty sure we were supposed to see the Power show launch on the PS4 or the PSN network, PlayStation network.
Isn't that next?
I thought it was supposed to be this week.
Xbox network, wasn't it?
No, it's not Xbox. It's PlayStation. Xbox has the Halo series going on.
Okay.
Rocket Raccoon number 7 comes out. Scarlet Spider number 3. Spider-Verse Team Up number 3. Spider-Woman number 3. Superior Iron Man number 4.
Superior Iron Man.
Yep. Wolverine's number 3. I actually reviewed that first issue of Wolverine's number 1 last week. This is a weekly series.
Uh-huh.
It was okay. It was
That's
a lot
the
of fighting.
With Trans-Reverse Sabretooth, right?
I guess. It's got Sabretooth was in it. So was X-23. So was, what's her name? The Blue Lady.
Mystique.
Yeah, Mystique. And then, of course, Mr. Sinister shows up.
Mr. Sinister, he's part of one of my favorites.
And the Wrecking Crew shows up too. So
the Wrecking Crew,
yeah, it's pretty crazy. It was a big fight issue, but
I love the crew.
I think if you picked up Wolverine's number 1, I think the groundwork was laid for the return of Wolverine in 3 months, 6 months.
Of course. You know, this is the thing. I get frustrated when people are like, "Oh, they've killed another superhero. He'll clearly be back." Okay, we all know that. why is it so shocking that you have to spend so much energy being snarky about
hey,
it?
Oh, hey, speaking of spoiling things for people.
Yes.
Did you see in the new Spider-Verse number 2 Spider-Verse. That now Tobey Maguire and who's the other one?
Andrew McCarthy?
I think so. Garfield?
They are now
both in the Spider-Verse. Because they're making a comment of, well, there's one Spider-Man who couldn't keep his mask on and another one who wouldn't. Oh, and the other one who wouldn't stop singing. That was a reference to Spider-Man on Broadway. Yeah. That one.
And
so those
I swear
two,
he looked just like the guy from Seabiscuit.
Yeah, yeah. So Tobey Maguire is now in the official comic book universe as one of the multiverse Spider-Men. And then the Broadway musical Spider-Man is also in there as well.
I ran into one who kept trying to teach me English.
I don't know. Is that who would that be?
That would be Spidey Super Stories.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I don't know if you saw today. I found his Spider Woman the other day, and I was tweeting about her today. The first Spider Woman.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. The African American hero.
Yeah, the librarian. She's
yeah,
nice.
Yeah. Yep. 13 Coins number 4 comes out from Titan Comics. Adventure Time Candy Capers Mathematical Edition hardcover $29.99. Black Butler trade paperback volume 19, Burning Fields number 1, Captain Stone number 2. Man, it seems like every week I'm talking about Crossed something or other, and there's another Crossed Badlands number 70.
Oh.
70 issues of that.
Why do you hate me?
They also have Crossed plus 100 number 2.
No, stop plussing the crosses.
Dark Gods number 3, Deep State number 1 and 2 get additional printings.
Oh, cool.
Doctor Who, 11th Doctor, number 7. Doctor Who, 12th Doctor, number 4. First Year Healthy hardcover. Oh, that's about.
First Year Healthy.
I know.
Sounds like something to do with babies.
Holy F, number 1 comes out. I just got the review copy in just before we started to record this. I'm wondering who's going to pick that one up and review it. That one's from
$5.
That's what I was going to guess. I think this is Action Lab Entertainment that has this one. I'm pretty sure it's Action Lab Entertainment.
That sounds right.
Lumberjanes number 10, Mono number 2, Red Sonja number 14, Red Sonja Black Tower number 4, Red Sonja Vulture's Circle number 1. That's the rare Virgin cover, $50. Rocket Salvage number 2, Run Like Crazy, Run Like Hell hardcover. Sonic the Hedgehog number 268.
Terraformers.
Graphic novel. Twilight
the Terraformers,
Zone.
Oh, yeah, there's a meets the Earth.
The new on the Apple TV.
Yes.
It's got a YouTube thing in there, and they updated YouTube within the last month, I want to say 2 months or so. And what happens now is when it gets to the end of the current video that you're watching, it pops up a little thing that says, you know, here's the next video that's going to come up. Sometimes it's totally random and they give you a countdown in case you want to skip out of it. And I was watching that today right after lunch and I dozed off for like 10 minutes. I was watching something that became very, very dry and boring, which I thought was going to be an interesting review of a tech product. And I dozed off for like 10 minutes. And the next thing I know, I wake up and I'm watching Transformers Marky Mark edition. And somebody had put up the entire movie in 5-minute chunks on YouTube, and it just kept kicking the next clip in the sequence. And so I'm sitting there watching like this big fight sequence between Optimus Prime and some bad guy.
What did he look like?
What's the guy that turns into a gun?
Megatron.
I'm pretty sure it was Megatron. Because the guy's face turned into a big gun and shot Optimus Prime in the back. And then I was like, I've got better things to do than sit here and watch this.
Dude,
especially
do
when,
not mock the Transformers.
Well, that movie I can because I just in the acting, there's this girl, I guess, that was in this trapped in this car. And Marky Mark's yelling at her, yo, run away from the Transformers.
Run away. Hey, looks like we got us a Transformer over here.
And he keeps yelling at her to run away. And she starts to run away. And then she runs back over to the car, I guess, because the robots are fighting.
Right.
And tumbling around her, but she's like screaming. And then, of course, she winds back up in the car. So when the bad Transformer, one of the Decepticons, captures Optimus Prime. She gets drug along too, and Marky Mark runs over and grabs the Ned's like, "Hey, bust out the window!" And she's like hitting it with her flat hand, like this. And she's screaming, "I'm trying! I'm trying!" And I'm just like, yeah, I got better things to do than watch this in 5 minutes.
All right, I'll give you that.
Uber 21 and Vampirella Fury Tales number 4 come out next week. Fury Tales. All right, so there you go. There's some of the comics. We have talked way too long in this installment of Dueling Reviews. We hope you enjoyed it. In fact, we hope you enjoyed it so much that you want to hear more and you want to support some of the things that we do here at Major Spoilers. Maybe it's this show. Maybe it's many of the other shows that we do. Maybe it's the website. You know, for the cost of a comic, for less than the cost of a comic.
I know. Comics are like $5.99 now.
You can support Major Spoilers for an entire month. So when you're looking at that $5.99 book, $4.99 book, and going, oh, do I want to buy this or do I want to hear Matthew and Steven reenact Transformers Marky Mark edition?
Hey, looks like we got us a Transformer over here.
Do that. Next time. And you know what? For the cost of one Pizza Hut visit. One trip to Pizza Hut.
That's $35.
That's what I'm saying. You could fund us for an entire year.
Ooh,
by signing up for a $2, $5, or $10 month subscription over at members.majorspoilers.com. We really appreciate it. We really are asking for your help so that we can produce more, so that we can hire more people, so that we can pay a little bit more. All those kinds of things can happen with your help. And of course, we've got some really cool stretch goals, including getting some podcasts early, new podcasts on the way, and a big old audio drama one when we hit our master goal. I think you guys are gonna get a kick out of that one when we get there. And I'm hoping that we hit our next goal of 1,500 subscribers. What did I say? March, April, something like that?
I believe so.
Yeah. So we got a little ways to go. I'm hoping that you can help us out. If you can't help us out that way and you're still going and buying things on Amazon, head over to majorspoilers.com, click on that Amazon button. And if you're going to buy something from Amazon, might as well use that link because a little bit comes our way as well. So every little bit helps. And if you could go without a Mocha Grande in the morning once a month, that would help fund us for a month.
Mocha Grande.
It's like 8 cents a day can help feed Matthew for a month. We can give him clean water and we can send him to school.
Okay. Topeka is not that bad off. I can get myself.
All I need is like, all I need is like sad pictures of you and Zach and Rodrigo and play some Sarah McLachlan music.
Zach, maybe. But Rodrigo and Rob and Brian and I are not going to be convincing as starving people.
But I can just put like Sarah McLachlan music over it and just say.
No, you know what you need to do is you need to get us all hover chairs and we can reenact that first half of WALL-E. And then you can have Zach come in and Zach can be all like, beep, boop, beep, beep.
How about,
and then you can say,
how about
save
this?
These poor fat bastards.
How about this, ladies and gentlemen? If we get up to our 1,500 subscriber goal by the end of June, Matthew and I will reenact. We will actually dress up in black suits. We will get in a car and we will reenact the opening to Pulp Fiction. And we'll have Zach and Rodrigo film it. And we'll do that whole opening sequence from Pulp Fiction with Samuel L. and John Travolta.
Ooh, are you going to be Samuel L. Jackson?
I can be, but I'd rather be John Travolta.
Yeah, you get the best lines. Okay, yeah, I'm in on this if I can be Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, and we'll do the whole thing. We'll shoot it. We will shoot it in a hotel. We'll shoot it in a hotel. We'll do all of that stuff where they're driving in the car talking about Royale with cheese. And we will put it online. That's an extra bonus when we hit 1,500. What do you think, listeners? You can make it happen.
That would be cool. You can get my Samuel L. Jackson.
You can get out your bad mother effer wallet finally.
You know what? If we do it, I'm not. You're going to have to bleep me. I'm not censoring.
Oh no, we're not going to censor. It'll be a reenactment. It'll be our own take on that.
18 plus.
I don't care who watches it.
Parental guidance suggested.
All we have to do is hit 1,500 by June.
1,500
subscribers by June. Doesn't matter if you're bronze, silver, or gold. We hit 1,500 by June. No, we'll go out and get the suits. We'll rent them. We'll get them exactly like the film, fit fit to 5X and 3X, and then we will find. Well, actually, we'll have to drive. Don't you still have that red Buick Chrysler thing?
I have my Chrysler, yeah.
So see, we can get in that, and we can do the whole thing. Interior. We can put Zach in the back, and the gun can go off accidentally.
Oh, man, I just shot Marvin in the head.
Oh, man, I just shot Zach in the head. You're picking up. You're later with your little pick going, oh, man, I'm still picking out bits of Marvin, bits
Why
of Zach
am I
from my
in the
hair.
Back seat when you're the one that made the mess?
Exactly. So there you go, listeners. I have thrown down
Rodrigo
the gauntlet.
Rodrigo could be like, it's all right. I'm sending the wolf.
Actually, Rodrigo could be. Yeah, he could be. Well,
Rodrigo
we're not going to do the whole.
Wolf.
We're not going to do the whole movie. We're just doing that whole opening sequence where we get up to the door and we knock on the door and go in.
You remember Anton Rocamora? They call him Tony Rocky Horror.
Oh yeah, he's a Samoan fella, right?
He's big boned. I wouldn't call the brother fat, but he's Samoan. What are you going to do?
Yeah. We'll have that all down. 1500. That's I have thrown down the gauntlet. 1500. We're halfway there now. I mean, we're just
I'm
under.
I'm looking forward to this.
Actually, we're under halfway there. Just under halfway there. We're at 700
rights,
VIPs that are making this show possible.
Wake the kids, phone the neighbors. I want to do this. This sounds awesome.
So we're going to have to promote this. So listeners, if you're promoting it, promote it. Get some people to sign up. I mean, really seriously. I'm not trying to put the big hard sell on you, but $2 a month, not asking for a. That's $24 a year. We're not asking for you to cut off your arm and mail it to us. Please don't cut off your arm and mail it to
us. Don't cut off your anything and mail it to us.
You can send your cut off toenail clippings to Matthew, 1515 Avenue B, Topeka, Kansas.
First of all, no. You don't even know my zip code.
Oh, I do. I have all the informations on you.
And don't be doxing me on the internet, my friend.
Yeah. Oh,
because I don't move.
All right, everybody, we need to get out of here because thank you so much for everything that you guys do. Your Major Spoilers VIPs, all, what is it? What are we up to now? 701 of you are making this show possible. So thank you very much, and we will talk with you real soon.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.